speed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbak, and today is Wednesday, the 19th of March, 2025. How are you? How you doing? I hope you're doing well. Today is a windy, blustery, chilly day where I am. But, the squall came through yesterday. What a show that was. Nature at its very most interestingest. It was as interestingest as it could be-est. Whew. Sleet and grapple and a little bit of scrapple. And if you don't know what scrapple is, look it up. You'll be disgusted. I used to eat the stuff. I haven't eaten it in... nigh on probably 40 years. But boy, back when I was a youngster, it was pretty good stuff. Yep, used to fry it up in grease. And, just old-fashioned grease right off of the car. Just take it right off from the axle grease and put it in a pan and fry it up. Kidding. Don't do that, kids. That's not good for you. That will make you like kids listen to this. You never know. Kids may listen to this. And if you do, don't do that. I'm telling you. Anyway. So how are you? I hope you're doing well. The world is just out of its mind. The people running it are out of their minds. Of that we have no doubt, do we? Do we have any doubt that the people running the world are out of their minds? I don't have any doubt. Anyway, I could talk about politics. Could I? I'll tell you one thing that just gripes me to no end. No end whatsoever. On the military site, the site of the military, the official military web pages, they have removed any mention of the Navajo code talkers, the Diné people code talkers. And I think that that is a shame. It's something that should not have been done. Those good people were in part responsible for defeating the Axis in World War II because no one could figure out what they were talking about, because it is a language all unto its own and there is nothing quite like it. So they were confused, and so removing them is, I don't know what's going on. It's like wiping any mention of any Jackie Robinson. His record in World War II has been removed. Any mention of him has been removed. Jackie Robinson, you know. It's like, okay, all right, he was black. He was a baseball player. He was... you know, famous. Why are we doing this? What is going on? And of course, we all know that eventually this will all be undone. It's like, will they mention, I don't know if Alan Turing is mentioned, his cracking the Enigma machine codes, which were incredibly important in World War II, for because the Enigma machine was a really big deal, something that the Germans had figured out, and it was deemed unbreakable, but Alan Turing did figure it out. He managed to break the code, and Alan Turing was gay. And are they going to remove any mention of him if he's listed? I don't know if he's listed. He was British. But if they do, what a horrible thing to do, because he was a genuine hero. he changed the outcome of the war, as did the Navajo Code Talkers. I don't understand what's going on trying to sponge away the past. You can't sponge away the past. You can't rewrite it. I was a historian in college. I should say I was a history major. I don't know what I was in college. I drank a lot. You know, I did that type of thing. I was the usual college sort of guy, but I certainly studied a lot of history, and I realized that, as they say, history is written by the winners, but I don't see these people as being winners, and I don't think they're going to win. So there. That's my 2 cents worth. It's not even worth 2 cents. But I do believe that things are beginning to get, I'll just say this. Things are getting heated. And that's because people value one thing in this country more than anything else. When they really comes down to it, when it really gets down to the real nitty-gritty, as they say, freedom is very important. Freedom of thought, freedom of expression, freedom of speech. And things are being encroached upon. And we're going to see what happens. I remember back in the 60s. I'm that old. I remember. And I remember what that was like. And there was a lot of things. There were a lot of things that were going on. And changes came because of it. And nothing was untouched. Nothing went unscathed. Nothing went un, so to speak, whatever that meant. Okay, that's about it. I mean, really, don't we all know what's happening? And what I do know, and what I believe, and maybe I've been wrong before, that's for sure, what I do believe is that this will not stay the way it is. Things will eventually go back to what, maybe not what they were, but they will go back to being better. Yeah, better. Because this is not right, in my opinion. Yeah, I know. That's my opinion. And I'll keep mine as much as I can, and you can keep yours as much as you can. I think that the world is a wonderful place. And to our friends in Canada, for we Americans, I apologize. Yeah, and it is up to me. I think it's up to every American who's been to Canada. I went to Duncan. Years and years and years ago. I was in Canada, and I was never so amazed at polite, genuine people in my life. Sweet, oh my God, sweet, friendly, accommodating, lovely human beings. Just couldn't get over it. How wonderful the Canadians are. They were, and I'm sure they still are. And that was, 30-some years ago. I went to Victoria, went to the Museum of Anthropology there, and I wanted to just, like, stay and live there. It was just so beautiful and so wonderful, and the First Nations artwork has captivated me ever since. I wear 2 rings, both of which have First Nations artwork featured upon them. I'm sure people look at me and go, but isn't that guy, doesn't he have Egyptian heritage? It's like, yeah, but I can like what I like. I like Egyptian stuff, too. what have we done, you know, to our closest? Anyway, that's that. That's enough of that. That's enough of that. So what is tomorrow? Hey, at 3:01 Mountain Time, a.m., 2:01 Pacific Time, 4:01 Central and 5:01 a.m. Eastern Time. And those of you in the UK, you know what time it is when it's going to happen. Stonehenge time. You're going to have the vernal equinox, and more power to us for it. Another spring has arrived, another vernal equinox. Equinox means equal night. It is not exactly true. Equinox is when you have equal day and night, equal light, equal lux. Equinox is true on the inner, watch your mouth, Mo, on the equator. On the equator. It's close, but equinox happens in different places, different latitudes, at different times. So it'll be right around this time of year for you. You can look it up somewhere. I can't tell you when it'll be for where you are, because you are somewhere. Wherever you are, there you are. But the equinox is on a very specific day for you. The equinox is for everyone tomorrow at a very specific time. For those of us on this continent, it will be in one of those time zones. For me, 3:01 a.m. And what a joyous thing that is. Why? Because we're here. We made it to the next little destination on our journey around the sun. And that is something to celebrate. That is something to celebrate. Soon there will be weeds everywhere in our yards, unless you have some way of keeping them from doing that. It's just something we have to deal with. And they're certainly started already in my little neck of the woods. I'll deal with it. You know, I have to. That's just how it goes. Just because we don't want to deal with it doesn't mean... when I was a kid, my parents had a house on a quarter acre of property, which was out kind of in what had been the boonies, as we used to call it, out in the woods. Not the woods. Prairie. It was prairie. Across the street from a big pond that had been an irrigation pond. So it was man-made. They just dug it out and slapped water in it and called it a lake. And it had lots of fish in it. I don't know. I guess it had been stocked. Maybe it wasn't man-made. I don't know. And those fish would die every year, and we had dogs, and the dogs would go roll in the fish. It was one of those lovely things that you remember forever. They smelled, oh my goodness. And there were skunks in the area, and they'd go spook the skunks, and they'd come back. And my childhood memories, but my mom would plant all these plants, and there were tons of weeds, indigenous weeds, to the prairie, and it would be go out and pull those weeds, and it'd be 1,000 degrees outside. It was as hot as the surface of the sun, and I'd have to go out there in the middle of June, July, and August during my summer vacation, when I was supposed to be hibernating in an igloo in my bedroom. Instead of that, I'd have to go out and, you know, and try and pull weeds, and I'd accidentally pull her whatever. Last time I did that, I took my weed eater out and cut down all my wife's dahlias. Well, I didn't know what a dahlia looked like. I still hear about that. It's been over 20 years. No, I didn't do it on purpose. I think dahlias are beautiful, but I didn't know a dahlia from a porpoise. Well, I would have been, if that had a porpoise in my backyard, I certainly would have known that. But I did not know the difference between a dahlia and a whatever. So that was a bad thing. It was a very, very bad. I was not happy to have done that. And she was even less happy for me to have done that. So it's coming. And then soon on its heels will come more. So that's tomorrow. And of course, in the old calendars, the ones that really matter, February 2nd was the beginning of spring with Imbolc. So the next big thing in that old calendar is May 1st, which is, of course, the beginning of summer. May Day, May Day. No, I don't need help. I'm just saying. You know, that comes from the old French, not even old French, just French, for help me, right? May Day. I need help. Help me. Help me. Like in the end of the movie, The Fly. Help me. Help me. I don't know if you remember that creepy David Hedison, you know. I think Vincent Price, was he in that one or the remake? Oh, I can't remember. And then what else is happening? Well, they're going to have the third quarter moon coming up on Saturday. That's right. Third quarter moon. Waning gibbous. Well, it's not waning gibbous. Waning gibbous is what's happening right now. Third quarter moon. Okay. I used to look at those third quarters and first quarters and go, reminds me of a watermelon. Big watermelon that's been cut, you know, and you get a big slice of it. So I called them watermelon moons. That's what we got coming. What do you do with those? Do you use those for anything? I always view them as being kind of important. We'll talk about that someday. I have something to talk about today. You're thinking, what? Did he actually plan something? Well, kind of more or less, you know. I want to talk about tips for divination for those of you who have actually owned a tarot deck or are planning on owning a tarot deck, or perhaps you're an astrologer. And I've been doing divination, practicing divination, most of my life. I did my first actual predicting on the school ground when I was in the second grade. Yep, that's the truth. I should not have been doing it, probably. And there was a girl on the playground with red hair that I had a crush on. And I think she knew it. Boy, was she cute. And I ran into her again in junior high school, and I blushed, and I don't know how you could tell, but she blushed, and I always had a crush on her in the 7th and the 8th and the 9th grade. I never said a word, and she always looked at me with those cute little, you know, dimples, and she didn't look at me with her dimples. That would be creepy, but, you know, it was just one of those things, and I had tarot cards at that time, and I was doing a lot of that stuff. And that was actually my first public performance, was in the 7th grade. For Halloween, they had a Halloween carnival sort of thing, and they stuck me in a room and with a crystal ball sort of thing. It's not what it was designed for. You put flowers in it underwater, but they, you know, filled it with water and stuck me in there and with my tarot cards, and I did readings. And there were a few people. Wasn't big. Eventually, I would be doing readings at parties and so on as an adult, and I would never be left alone. It was really kind of amazing. That would have been right when I was about 13 is when I started publicly. Anyway, I've been doing them all my life. All my life, in one way or another. And too shy. God, I was always too shy with women. Always too shy, even as an adult. That's all right. That's all right. Just no self-esteem. I guess that's just how it goes when you're the overweight, you know, foreign kid with curly hair and glasses. Yeah, I guess that's it. But I think that I would like to share. So I've gotten kind of in the habit of, I don't know, I'd like to teach. Maybe I got the itch maybe to teach a little bit. Right now in my life, I can't do a whole lot of anything because I just can't right now. It's just, it's not me. It's my circumstances, so I won't get into it. It's kind of domestic stuff, and you know how that can be. You know, just the time in my life. So eventually I'm going to get back to it if I live long enough, and I'm planning on living long enough. I just got out, I happened to look at a card the other day, the Crowley Fool card, and I went, oh my God, look what I see. And I, you know, kind of went ding, 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 ding. And got kind of excited, and I started writing some notes down and realized that I still have a lot that I'd like to talk about. So either that or write a book. Maybe I'll do that. Who knows? So today I want to talk about tips for divination. Not that I took dips for divination, although I did get a couple in all my years, maybe two, maybe three. a few tips here and there. I should have had a tip jar out, I guess, if I wanted them. I was always a little embarrassed when I got them because I thought, like, hey, you're paying me for what I do, you know. But it's like a piano bar. I should have. But I figure it doesn't matter. Use astrology. Use tarot, numerology, use the runes. No matter what you use, if you use a pendulum, divination, if you're doing it right, is both an art and a science, right? Yeah. And a science is something you have to study. And all sciences, in my opinion, have some sort of tool, whether it's mathematics or whether it's test tubes, and, you know, it doesn't matter. And art, well, art is everything else, if you think about it. So the thing to really do here is to involve yourself. The scientific part is basically you, right? That's you working with your cards, with your charts, with your runes. I love the runes. They've gotten kind of a uptight reputation lately because of their historic connection to Teutonic organizations. Especially lately, they've been kind of hooked up with some Neo-Aryan groups. Don't pay attention to that. Just try not to, okay? Because that's not going to do you any good. They can be used by just about anybody for just about anything you want. I use them. I haven't used them in a little while, but I do use them. And you can get runes commercially. You can make your own. The first set I made was from an old Christmas tree that I had. And my son and I had him hold them. He was probably 10. Hold the tree, hold the tree. And I got this ratty old saw head, and I voopa, 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 you know, and I'm cutting these rounds off the tree, and I inscribed it, and I kept cutting myself while I was doing it, and found out that a good idea is when you're inscribing it, you cut yourself, and or you're supposed to have some of your own blood in it somewhere. And I thought, oh, well, that's easy if you do it the way I did it. But I've got some staves that I made that have the runes in them, and that's one way. And the runes are really, they're quite stunning in their ability to divine. Now, let me also say this, that when you learn the process of divination, almost anything you use to divine will talk to you. Once you learn to listen to the divine aspect of divination, hence the term divination, the voice speaks. You could probably throw pebbles, and there is a version of pebble throwing that you can use, including geomancy, by the way, which is something that uses pebbles, or you can use just about anything. You can use marbles, you can use dice. I used to carry around 4 dice with me all the time, and I'd take them out and shake them up, and boom, divination. The I Ching uses coins. If you want to use coins, you can use Yarrow stocks. You can use dice. I've got 2 dice on my desk right now. One is red, the other one is black. Red with black spots, black with red spots. Boom, divination. It's amazing. You use beads. I've got lots and lots of beads that you can use for divination in different ways, in different modes. I've got some I Ching beads that I have that I call dragon beads. I'm not the only one. And they have a sequence of different colors around them so that you can take them off your wrist. You can simply run them through your hands without paying attention. You stop at a bead. Boom, hexagram, divination. There, you can look at clouds. Boom, divination. Cleromancy, that's called, I think. Is that cleromancy or is that clowns? I don't know. I lose track of things. Numbers, numerology. And there's so many different types of numerology. I mean, it's just phenomenal, the types of the many different ways that you can use divination. And how does it all work? Well, it's based upon this concept that we are constantly being bombarded by information by the universe, with information by the universe. And I buy it 100%. Why? Because I have been told things by the universe that I could not have possibly known, period. Full stop, end of story. I have been told the most amazing things that have stunned me, that have flattened me, that have simply knocked me on my can by the universe. And later on, I found out that not only were they true, but they were in detail, absolutely 100% correct. And you go, how did that, could that have been? That's just the way it is. It works, and it works, man, almost 100% of the time, okay? Almost 100% of the time. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not trying to make myself right here, but I made a prediction about the election, and it was not what happened, but I'm also going to tell you, between you and me and anyone listening, I was right. But we're not going to talk about that now, and I found out that I was. But that's not a story for today. It's a story for much later, and possibly for my diary. But I found out something, and I found out it's true, and I found out I can't really talk about it in public, but you can take it from me, okay? Because the Oracle told me something, and then I was told something by someone else who happens to know these things. And it's not some guy with conspiracies. It's someone who knows things. And he's not a conspiratorial person. He's a knowing thing guy. And you go, oh, crap. Okay, well, that explains kind of a lot. Now, I'm only telling you this because it's not, oh, Mo is so good at what he does. That's not the point, because I couldn't confirm it. But you have to learn to trust the oracle. If you work with an oracle, you find one you trust. Well, I've been studying these different types. I mean, I was introduced to the I Ching when I was 14. Yeah, 14. I Ching, the I Ching, 14, yeah. Runes later than that. Actually, quite a bit later than that. And then it took me a while to understand them. Numerology, I didn't get into till I was in my 20s. And then I didn't really understand it for a long time. Not until I got into Crowley. Tarot, when I was 10 years old or so. Cards. I started, cards when I was five or six, maybe six, seven. Palmistry when I was five. That's when I really kind of started, it was six, maybe. And that's good, the cute redheaded girl. And I was, like, reading her palm. And a lot of it I know, that's a different story. But the whole point is that when we get into it, it's the science of it that you have to study. You have to work with it. So, and here's the thing. If you're doing an oracle and you've studied it enough, that you're going to work with people, every time you get that oracle out, you have to say to yourself, there is something sacred here. It's special. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the place, it could be in a Denny's, you know. It could be in a, where's that place in Canada? Todd Horton. That's right. I've never been to one. But, you know, I think they're are they Burger King or something? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the mood or the circumstance. What you are doing is sacred, because you are seeking information that is important and influential in people's lives. I never lose sight of the fact that what I'm going to say could influence someone's life. So I am very, very careful about what I say. Pardon me, I'm going to take a sip of my probably cold coffee, but coffee's coffee, even though it's decaf, right? And I will admit here, instant. Yeah, I've gone to instant coffee. It's just so much easier. Did you know that most of the world drinks instant coffee? I know. I never thought I would either. I know. Those of you who know me, it's like you're screeching and hollering and saying that's impossible. But don't worry. So the whole point is that it has to do with the fact that what you're doing is you literally are saying, "I'm. This is serious." Even though you might be light, it's light and it's enjoy. Ha ha ha! But you have to realize how special it is to be chosen in time and space to do what you're going to do. Aha! You see, it's very special. Very special, you know. And from the moment you begin the process of attempting to divine, so the moment you take the coins out of your pocket, whether they be pennies or whether they be a nickel, a dime, and a quarter, which are whatever, they're coins, whether it doesn't matter whether you take regular playing cards, it doesn't matter. The moment your intent begins, the magic begins. It starts. And it's absolutely vital that you know that you have created a different place in that moment, that it's no longer a table at Burger King, you know, wherever you may be. And I've done readings everywhere. I did a reading, I did an afternoon at the Denver Zoo with some other readers. And we were like 20 feet, now I'd say maybe 30 feet away from the elephant thing where they would put people on elephants and they would walk around. And the wafting of elephant dung would come over. And actually, it was not unpleasant. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it was natural. It was very earthy. And the elephants, and you would hear kids laughing, and alternately, they would scream in terror. But mostly, it was laughing. And it was fun. And I could hear hyenas laughing in the background and roaring of Anna. And it was a delightful afternoon. It was a warm afternoon. I dressed appropriately, but I was still dressed up. You know, I used to dress kind of costumey. I dressed costumey. And I was mobbed that day. Oh, that's right, I was doing palms, which is the most intimate form I know of to do readings, because doing palms, man, I mean, you're right there. You're holding someone's hand, and it is so intimate because you're getting their energy, number one. You immediately begin to get auras, if you do any aura work at all. You're getting this energy, you're getting the aura. Sometimes you're getting more than that, I mean, especially if there's any attraction at all. But then you're also getting this immense information from their hands. And I look at both hands, left and right, and you can usually tell if they're right-handed or left-handed by the lines involved. And it was just phenomenal. It was a phenomenal day. It really, really was. And so when you're doing this type of work, even though there is this aroma of animal whatever, it is a sacred place. And you have to know that you're doing something very powerful. You are acting as an ambassador for divine wisdom. And you have to feel that part. Or if you don't, something weird is going to happen, you know? Because people do take you seriously. Even if it's supposed to be just a goof. You don't want to pronounce things that are real heavy unless you know it to be true. Like warnings, like, oh, don't do this and don't do that, because there's a lot of responsibility there. I've known people in the past, and I shouldn't say this, but I've known people in the past who have done dastardly things, who have been terrible people, terrible readers, because they have done horrible, horrible things in order to gain an edge or to make people dependent upon them. Or who, I mean, I never wanted that. Never once did I want someone to become dependent upon me. And as a matter of fact, I finally would say to people, enough. You know, I truly enjoy seeing you. It's great to see you. I care about you, but maybe you need to stop coming for a while, or maybe you need to see a psychologist. I've done that. Or maybe you need to just live your life. Be happy. You don't need me anymore. I've done that. Why? Because you can tell when someone doesn't need you. We'll talk about some things like that, what you can tell. But you have to know what you're doing. That what you are doing is very important, because people will absolutely hang on your every word. You become very, in that moment, you might be, they might not even believe in anything you do, but in that moment, you become, whether they consider you to be a charlatan or not, I've seen people who were not believers who listen to my every word, you know. I had a way, though, I will just say, I had a way of making people believers. I don't know exactly how, other than I was guided, you know. I had a guy sit down at my table once. I used to do a lot of parties. And I was doing a party once. It was a holiday party. And sitting there, and I was, you know, looking at palmistry was easy and quick, and I was, I'll just say this without, you know, vanity involved, I was frankly very good at it. And I was reading his palm, and he was saying, so tell me something that no one in here knows. And I just said, I'll tell you something only one other person in here knows, and that's your secretary. And he thought he was going to fall right out of his chair. And he said, what made you say that? I said, well, you asked for it. And he started saying, you're a fraud. And I said, you know, he told me, he said, you're a fraud. I said, I'm not a fraud. I just do what I do. I said, and I don't know how I do it, but I do what I do. And please don't worry, I'm not going to tell your wife. You know, he said, you don't even know who my wife is. I said, yes, I do. I said, she's the one light over there. And I pointed to her. He said, how'd you know that? I said, you walked in the door with her. I'm not stupid, you know, that sort of thing. But people don't want to believe in this stuff. And sometimes something will happen where you are going to be warned of things. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a reader, pay attention to those things. I was working at the brick and mortar 12th house, which was a bookstore before it was, you know, 1-2. It was called the 12th house. And this was back in the 90s. And one day I was going to work 9 o'clock in the morning. And I got there and there were these two ladies waiting to get in. And I thought, okay, that's fine. Good. I have business. Because it was, yeah, you know, I had to work for a living. And when you work an alternative anything, you know, sometimes it's not always so easy. So Mark, who was one of the owners, and John was the other, and Mark said, you've got two ladies waiting. I said, oh, I saw them on the porch. He said, and they looked to me like they were together, but he said, I don't know if they don't seem to be, or they aren't, or whatever. And the first one came up, and boy, was she evasive and shady. And the first card I drew was the Queen of Swords reversed. And instantly, I'll never forget that, I got this hit. Woo-wee! It was a hit. And the hit was, this woman means you harm. She means you harm. Now, the state of Colorado had just passed a law that fortune-telling was illegal. And that if you were a fortune teller, you could get a big ticket. And you could even, I think you could have done some jail time, although I don't remember for sure. And so she started asking me these really, you know, and the thing is, I at a different time, I could have gotten the Queen of Swords reversed. And it might have been, you know, oh, she's been hurt, or she has a question she doesn't know the answer to, or, you know, it could have been a lot of things, but it was intuitive, and it hit that this woman is out to get you. Be careful, Mo. And it was as clear as could be. And so she started asking extremely fortune tellery type questions, so to speak. And I paid attention, and I was evasive as could be. I wouldn't answer any of the questions the way she wanted them answered, and she was getting very frustrated. So, we did her reading. I think she was probably kind of annoyed. The other person came up. I said, "Oh, I met your friend," and she said, "Oh, we don't know each other." And I thought, "Oh, come on, you know, why do you do this sort of thing?" And so we started, and she started this. I said, "Look, the cards told me, first right off the bat, that the lady downstairs who came before you was trying to entrap me. Now, I can see by this card that you have some real issues in your life. If you'd like to get a real reading, I'll give it to you. If not, let's just don't pay the money. Let's just call this off right now, and you can just leave, because I'm not going to fall for it." This woman began crying immediately. Began really just let her guard down, started weeping, and we started talking, and she let on a lot of very deep, heavy issues. She had a great reading. She also admitted that they were from the lieutenant governor's office and that they were there to try and entrap the first person they could get a reading from to be a fortune teller. She also admitted that it was the best reading, you know, she could have had, and that it helped her a great deal, which I think probably irritated her cohort. They were there together. Now, that's the power of divination. Now, it also tells you something, that people who come to you for a reading can lie. And they can lie, they think they can lie to you. Now, this is one of the things that's always amazed me about giving a reading. The people who sit across from you getting a reading, or on the other side of a phone, I've read for people on all 7 continents. And that's the truth, also including Antarctica. And those were some wild readings in Antarctica. I'll tell you, I'm not going to get into it. But Maui, Kazowie, were those some interesting readings. People from who live in Antarctica, of course, they were at McMurdo, which is the scientific base there. I guess it's I don't know what type of base, but they had some real issues, real solid core issues. Anyway, nice people, but huge issues. But when someone comes to you and lies to you and thinks that they're getting away with it, well, you have to wonder, you know, why are they paying you? And my fees are not little fees, you know. They're not what they started out being 30, 40, 50 years ago. And I always think, why are they lying to me? And I realize that they're lying to themselves, maybe, but you don't have to, but I always try and find a way to get them to see the truth. That's one thing. So that's a skill you need to work on too. It's important to know how to deal with people and how to deal with their issues. There's a lot of psychology involved. I'm not a psychologist. I've certainly had clients who are psychologists. You wouldn't believe how many psychologists I have taught Tarot to have been my students who have then gone on to use it in their practice. I'm using some beads here, by the way. That's the clicking you're hearing. It's not my bones. Who have gone on to use it in their practice, or have used what they've learned from Tarot in their practices. That's how wonderful a tool it is. And I've used astrology too. I'm a Vedic astrologer, you know. Let's talk for a second about coincidences. Coincidences in any type of divination don't happen. They don't exist. So that isn't to say that there are no such things as coincidences. I won't say that, mainly because Of course coincidences exist, but when we deal with any form of divination, be it whatever it is, whether it's tarot or I Ching or runes, it doesn't matter what, or the Om, it doesn't matter. When we come to divination, we consider that the coincidence is in fact a part of the divinatory process. In other words, when you're doing a divination and you're thinking something and immediately someone says this and it's the same thing, that implies that your consciousness is in the right place, right? Your thoughts are in line with your job. And I never take credit for it. It's not me. What sort of insanity would it be for me to say, I did this? Well, that would be the worst type, right? Because when we're doing this work, we're running a mental dialogue. We're being fed information, right? It's happening constantly. I still have the beads. I have this set of Tibetan Bodhi seeds that I've used for 30 some years. And run those beads, and in my mind, every time I run one, it's Omani Padme Om, Omani Padme Om, Omani Padme Om, Omani Padme Om. But I'm also doing the reading, so it's silent, of course. And I'm able to do the reading, but I also am able to tune in. And it doesn't get in the way. It doesn't, there's nothing harsh about it. It quiets my normal mental dialogue, which can be very loud, as you can tell. And what it does is it allows me to do what I'm there to do, which is to help. Especially when you have a client who can be deceitful, or can be closed to you. And I know you're saying, why would someone come and be closed? Because they're terrified sometimes. Or they can be flirtatious. And I was always so kind of mystified by that, but it does happen, and it can happen. And you'll experience it if you ever do, and if you've done this for people. And sometimes, you know, there are some readers who use flirtatious energy in order to do what they do, in order to get beyond that first level of armor. But I don't do that because I'm not that person. I just, let's begin and let's get started and da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. Here, let me take my clothes off and pull out the cards and then I'm kidding. That's a joke. that wouldn't put anyone at ease, trust me. No. I used to light incense, Nag Champa, which was great incense. I don't do that. I don't use incense anymore because I found it just makes me cough, you know. So, and I don't know how many sticks of incense over the decades I've burned, you know. But it is amazing to me how many people lie to themselves, about their lives, about their circumstances. So tact is a huge part of being a good reader. Tact. We're talking right now about the art of reading, I think. I would put it that way. Wouldn't you? That there is an art to it, and that tact is an amazingly important part of it. You also have to be able to allow anything to enter your mind that comes and to be willing to act upon it. I love this story because it was just so stunning to me. I was doing a reading for a gentleman and he sat down and I said, hello. And he said, yeah, whatever. And boom, turned over the card and there was the art card in the Crowley deck. And all I could focus on was this skull in the middle. That was all. And I said, look, I'm sorry. What, I'm just seeing a skull on this card and it is just absolutely riveting me. What do you have to do with death or with the skull? He said, oh, I'm a mortician. Blew me away. And of course, you can't really, you know, fall on the ground and grovel and drool when something like that happens. You have to just kind of go with it. Another time I was doing, I think it was the Emperor card. I think it was the Emperor card. It might have been the Empress. And the bee, there's a bee, and I just was the bee and the bee, and all I could just see bees and hear bees buzzing, 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 buzzing. And I said, please, do you keep bees? And I thought the guy was going to fall right over. And he said, I'm a beekeeper. And he was in Longmont, you know, or something. And I keep bees. I do honey. And I was like, wow. And so you just have to listen. And don't be afraid to tap into that and to allow your subconscious and your psychic abilities, whatever that means. For years and years and years, I fought against the word psychic because I didn't know what it meant, you know. My mom was strong in it. She had incredible abilities, but she was also paranoid. So she could not separate the wheat from the chaff. She couldn't separate the psychic from the paranoia. So everything she thought was that. Everything she thought was significant, when in fact a lot of it was her paranoia. She suffered from a lot of issues. Because, you know, when she was absolutely certain that when I was out drinking or when I was out, you know, doing whatever I was doing in high school, which was a lot of things, that I was wrapped around a tree, I actually was fine because that was her natural motherly fear, which was quite genuine. And I was in danger at times, grave danger, when I was hitchhiking across the country. And been picked up by someone who was extremely dangerous and meant me incredible harm. I made it through because I was probably a little more dangerous than the guy himself, because I was a little, you know, that little tinge of I'm going to make it through this kicked in. When that happened, she was, you know, but I made it. But so that was probably quite genuine. But there were other times when I was perfectly safe. And so she couldn't tell the difference between what was there and what wasn't. So that's why I use the tools, because I have that same little bit of not paranoia, but it's hard sometimes to tell what is just your mind thinking and what is just truly psychic. So that's why I use astrology and tarot, and you know, so you have to remember you're a receiver, and yet at the same time you have to remember that you have your own thoughts. So that's why I utilize the tools. Okay, so when you're doing a reading, you have to listen to the voice, but I say use the tools in conjunction with that, and they will help to keep you honest, and they'll help to keep you accurate. Okay. You have to investigate your emotions when you're talking to somebody. How do you suddenly feel? Because you may be feeling something that isn't genuinely yours, but will tell you about what's happening, not with them, but about them. I think that's a valuable little bit of something. So if you suddenly feel grief, why? If you suddenly feel fear, why? It's not your fear, but it's something around the reading, something that's going there. If you suddenly feel hunger, why are you suddenly hungry? What are you hungry for? You know, I was talking to a lady once, and I was suddenly incredibly aroused. And I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. And I was really quite uncomfortable. And it turned, what had to do with something that she was involved with, and it turned out that she had a problem that was, it was a physical problem that made her like that, and she had a very difficult time dealing with it. It was something hormonal, and I was able to peg it and say, you need to go see your doctor, because she was having some real problems. And she managed to stop it before it cost her too much. But I said, this is, because I was like, it was like, you know, kabong, throb, 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 and all through my body. And I was like, I was flushed. She said, are you okay? I said, do you have trouble with this, controlling it? And I said, because I'm very uncomfortable right now. And she got, And she wanted to write there, and I said, no, this is not a good time or place or ethical, or we're not going to do this. And she said, oh, my God. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor, they found out what the problem was. And so it was something that was purely given to me through the process of divination. And if I had acted upon it, I think all my abilities would have been taken away from me. You know, oh, sure, I'd have had maybe a wonderful time, but I'm kidding. But that's how this works. I could tell you story after story after story, but I think you get the idea. Those are just a few tips. I could have so many more things to tell you, but it's about just doing it. Do it, study it, have fun with it, realize how powerful the process of doing it is. Just do it, like the commercials used to say. You won't regret it. Divination is its own reward. You know? Man, I love it. Whew. All right. That's about all the time I have today. That went by fast. Maybe I'll pick this up again sometime. It was just kind of burning a hole in my brain, and I thought it would be fun to talk about. I'm going to get back to that fool card. Maybe I'll start doing something. Who knows? I'm so excited about being alive. I just do love it. All right. Well, until next week, happy vernal equinox. Happy last quarter. Happy lots of things. Happy every single day. I love you all. Peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2,